Good morning, friends. Once again, my name is Dean Delfos. I am currently one of the preaching pastors at Redemption Hill in Hickman. And not that long ago, I don't even think it's been a month, after one of our services, we were going through also the Gospel of Mark, as you have been, and selecting passages that are specifically tailored for those who do not yet believe in the Lord Jesus. And I found out weeks later that two people that were attending our church had discussions afterwards in the afternoon. And a young woman who grew up at Faith Bible, had brought her friend to church at Redemption Hill that morning. And the Lord used her through her friend's questions to answer questions about the gospel and bring her friend to faith in Christ Jesus. So already, in more stories than I have time to tell, your church family is having an impact on our ministry and the community in Hickman. So thank you for being partners with us and working with us and fellowshipping with us in this gospel ministry work. This morning, I'd like to turn your attention to a rather obscure passage, Acts chapter 16. To my chagrin, I have realized in my studying that this is one of those passages that other preachers, when they come to Acts 16, skip over real quick within a sentence or two and move on to the good stuff. So we'll see how today goes. I never thought I would be planting at a church again. Matter of fact, when I was called to ministry, when I was a teenager, I wanted, if God would be gracious, that I would stay in one church family, in one community, and grow with it and shepherd that church family all the way throughout my ministry life. And that has not been my experience. The Lord has used us to plant churches. And when we moved to Nebraska 10 or so years ago, I thought, this is it, I'm done. Don't ever say that. So, and then in preparing Country Bible, I was the preaching pastor at Country Bible since 2013. In preparing the church family to plant churches, I realized something biblical about church planting that I had not realized before. And it might be obvious to you, but it takes me a while to get obvious things. So let me share with you this morning a bit of what I discovered working my way through the text. This morning, I just want to touch on three main questions from Acts 16. The first is what happened, then what is unusual about it, what's so unusual about what happened, and what are the implications for us, for Redemption Hill Bible Church, for Faith Bible Church. What happened, what's unusual about it, and what are the implications for us going forward. First, what happened? In Acts 16, starting in verse 6, and really looking also at the surrounding context, we realize that in this passage, a pattern is established and broken. So, if you're in Acts 16, let me have you just kind of get a running start with me, just back up a few verses. And at the end of chapter 15, we read about how Paul and his traveling companion Barnabas have been on mission to fulfill the great commission that the Lord Jesus left or gave to his followers in Matthew 28. I say that because we rightly call them Paul's missionary journeys, if you're familiar with Bible things. But that label doesn't help us see what we should be seeing. So this effort or journey to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what's happening. So they finish one journey, and now Paul and his friend are getting ready to embark on another journey. And in verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take a young man by the name of John Mark, who later became the writer of the Gospel of Mark that you guys are going through. But because of certain things that happened on a previous journey, they got into a sharp disagreement about that and went on two separate journeys. And so, verse 39, Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Verse 40, Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers at the church in Antioch to the grace of God, the grace of the Lord. And he went throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So they go in two different ways, and what they're doing is not starting new churches, they're strengthening existing churches. The Lord commanded in Matthew 28 to make disciples of all nations, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all I commanded you. The ongoing work of strengthening believers in local places. And then we have in chapter 16, verse 1, they come to Derbe, they pick up Timothy, and then as the text goes on, they go to another little town called Lystra and Iconium, and Timothy accompanied him, and verse 4. Acts 16, verse 4. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them the observance decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Church strengthening, city to city. Verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia, standing there, urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is the word of the Lord. Okay. So I wonder if you can pick up on the pattern. Paul is going from place to place, and he is strengthening churches. He's working with churches. He's strategically starting and strengthening churches so far in the book of Acts. Starting and strengthening. Making disciples and maturing disciples. And if you're like me, you hear Acts or a pastor, preacher talk about this town, this place, and you're like, okay, who cares? I mean, just be honest. Like, you're just like, okay, that doesn't mean anything to me. So I took a little time to understand what significance these places have. So one of the first little maps I want to put on here is spots where early churches generally were established. So in the lower corner, we have the Jerusalem, Israel area, and then just working our way up and around, you have names of cities where churches were established. That if you're a Bible reader, or familiar with the Bible in some ways, you would recognize some of those. And I don't expect you, if you have eyes like I do, I don't expect you to be able to read any of that. I'm just being transparent. I put it on there just to impress you. I have no idea. Like, you don't have to. Here's what's unusual about what's happening. If we go down to another map, and I totally ripped this off from the ESV Study Bible. So if you, just giving credit where credit is due, I can't draw nearly this well. And if you have one of these, great little study Bible for you. So Palestine, Jerusalem in the lower corner. And on this second journey that Paul has started, a pattern emerges. He goes to Antioch. See the little sign at the top says starting point. And then he's just going to keep going and going from place to place. And I'm just going to zoom in for just a minute. So next slide, please. So we just zoomed into that little middle area. Oh, let's back up a bit. That's good. We'll go to slide two. That's great. So here we have that starting point, and he's just going from place to place. Iconium, Lystra, and right after where it says Iconium, Lystra, where it says Phrygia, that's where our text comes in and things get interesting. You can tell. I'm going to favor you guys on this side because there's less of you and I'm scared of people. So you're bad. You sat in a crowded area. So just watch the general direction is basically that way. All right? Can you see that? Basically that way. I'm not good with directions. That's west. Right? Okay. Just checking. All right. His next stop should have been Ephesus. The pattern that Paul and his companions use by God's grace to strategically start and strengthen churches is to work their way through port cities or major areas of commerce and traffic where people come in and out. Share the gospel in those places. The Holy Spirit works. People come to faith in Christ Jesus. Churches are established, and then they leave. Why? Because they are entrusting the believers who have stayed behind to faithfully share the gospel with towns and surrounding areas in their region and start churches there, spreading the news about Jesus, people coming to faith in Christ, and believers being congregated together in local fellowships. That's the pattern. And then the pattern breaks. The pattern breaks where we have Paul being redirected north and up and around. So if you're back in your passage of Scripture, back in the text, this is where instead of going city to city, verse 4, they have to pass through regions. Regions, verse 6, of Phrygia and Galatia. So look how big that region of Phrygia is. It's in faded letters in the yellowish spot here. And then Galatia there. There's passing through regions. He's taken up and over, and the Holy Spirit forbid them to share the gospel in Asia. Verse 6. Do you see what's troubling about that? The Lord Jesus gave a commandment. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go into every nation and share the gospel. Bring them to faith and grow them up in the faith. And the Holy Spirit forbids a group of believers who are striving to be obedient. He forbids them to preach the gospel in this area. And so, Paul, wonderfully stubborn Paul, says, okay, if not here, how about here? So, verse 7. And when they had come to Mysia, so that's, again, just that wider little area there, they attempted to go into Bithynia. So they attempted to go north, okay? You don't want us going east anymore? Let's go north. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Now, if you're like me, my easily distracted brain gets hung up right here, and it becomes like that little thing on your computer, like depending on what computer you have, like it's a little wheel that keeps spinning, just thinking, can't do anything right now. Or like if you have a other kind of computer, then there's a little, you know, hourglass that's turning. No shame. I keep asking, how did he do that? How did the Holy Spirit do that? Was it a voice? And then it finally hit me that the Lord, nor Paul, nor Luke, who's writing this, wants us to get an answer to that question at all. That's not what's important. How the Spirit communicated is not important. That the Holy Spirit communicated, and communicated clearly enough, where there was no doubt about it. That's what's important. And that it's the Spirit of Jesus. That's the second title given to the Holy Spirit in this passage. To relate to us that the third person of the Spirit of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, is absolutely working in tandem with the first two people of the persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son. The Spirit of Jesus, the one who said, go, is acting absolutely in concert with the one who's telling Paul, don't go there. And so, some 400 miles on foot, up and around and over. I cannot imagine walking to the grocery store. Honestly, I can't imagine walking to the refrigerator. I just have tremendous motivation. A 400-mile detour up and over. And no joy in doing the thing that you've been called to do. This is a puzzling problem. And so, Paul, in obedience, passes over Mysia, verse 8, and went down to Troas, up and over and around. Does God not care for the people in Asia and Bithynia? We know that's not true for a variety of reasons. Number one, Jesus said to go. Number two, God so loved the world, a wicked, twisted, sinfully dead world in rebellion, and he gave his only son, so whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And take heart. If you're worried about the people in Bithynia, take heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes to the churches in Asia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, Galatia. If not Paul now, somebody else will come and spread the gospel, and the church will be established in Bithynia, Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, Thyatira. Or even later, we'll see what God does through Paul. So, let's see. Where are we? All right. So Paul is Troas in this upper little corner right here. Just follow this big yellow blotch up Troas. Let's go to the next slide. We'll kind of zoom in right there. So there we are. Right? So he's gone up and over, now in Troas. All right, let's go one more. Good. Now he hops on a ship from Troas to Macedonia. So that's where we read verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia, standing there, urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over here and help us. I don't know how you respond when you hear a cry for help. The Holy Spirit being so merciful to Paul and his traveling companions has hindered. And now, by whatever means they communicated that, this way of communicating is told to us. It was a dream. And a clear dream. And I've wondered for a long time, how did Paul know it was a guy from Macedonia? Like, their traveling journey came down to Troas. If they just keep going in a circle, okay, well, they're just going to keep circling down south, and we'll head down to Thyatira. That's the natural course. Paul gets a stream, this guy from Macedonia, up here saying, come over here and help us. And I've imagined him standing on the coast in Macedonia or cliff face, and there's a label at the bottom in Greek, Macedonia. Like, it's a dream. I mean, and then I did some research. What becomes a 5 nautical mile boat journey for Paul from Troas to Macedonia is a world away culturally. Perhaps it was his accent. Come over here and help us. I don't know what accent that was. Swing and a miss. But the reason I chose that one is because the gospel is now moving from Asia Minor to Europe. And if you are descended in any way from anybody in Europe, welcome to how the gospel came to you and your family. It moves across boundaries through Paul and his companions and makes a massive difference. Chapter 16, the rest of the story is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Acts. Just encourage you to look into it on your own. When the guy in his dream says, come over here and help us. That word, help us, translated over and over and over in the New Testament as save us, rescue us. It is clearly a call to bring news to people who desperately need to hear of the saving work of Jesus Christ for rebellious sinners like us. And so, not being slow, like I'm slow, I hemmed and hawed over this church planting thing for a while. Paul is so much better. Verse 10. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. And here's the title of my message to you. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. By the way, you see the pronoun change to we, verse 10? And us? Paul either meets or picks up Luke, our writer, and now Luke is traveling with them. This is an eyewitness account, not just a nice story. Concluding that God has called us to go, Luke the physician picks up on the logic of the passage. We might be slow, but we're not stupid. Even we can pick up on the conclusion that we should draw. The question was never about staying. The question was where to go next. I'll come back to that. So as they go, God will give Paul opportunity a little later to come back. And if you're taking notes, Acts 19, verses 1 through 7, Paul finds his way back in Asia again. So let's go the next slide over. And Paul's gone up and around. He's gone over to Macedonia, and he finds his way in the course of time. God brings him eventually back to Asia. And on the third missionary journey, he spends 2 years in Asia preaching and strengthening the believers there. And verse 10, yes, if you haven't yet, find this one. Follow with me. Acts 19, verse 10. Paul's preaching in the lecture hall of Tyrannus every day continued for 2 years. And the result is that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And it's not that all the residents of Asia... Okay, your turn. I love you too. It's not that all the residents of Asia came down to Ephesus to hang out in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. It's that the people who were made disciples and began maturing as disciples carried the gospel further out, so that after 2 years, Luke can say everybody in this whole region, a region that wasn't allowed to hear the gospel before, everyone in the whole region heard the word of the Lord, and many became believers. So the little unstated piece that is actually picked up in Acts chapter 11 is that the people who are going throughout the region, Paul and his companions go region to region. The people who spread throughout the region are everyday people like you and me. That's the pattern. And it's backwards from what we think. And I say this not in any kind of put down or whatever. It just takes one to know one. Like, I've been there. We think, I'm going to stay until God calls me to go. And Luke, on purpose, says, these guys have been going, and the way God intervened was to tell them to stay or to stop. God, let me say it a different way, because that's a little misleading. He didn't tell them to stop. Jesus said, go, and selected Paul and his companions, Acts 13, to cross borders. But everyone is still called to go, or in the Greek, Matthew 28, as you are going. And when God interrupts the normal going of people, wherever they are, they're going, they're spreading. Paul and his companions can leave them behind or come back and visit later, strengthen them, because he's trusting the believers who stay there and live there to go throughout the region wherever they live. It's not all up to Paul. The pattern is go. And the one time God really makes it clear that there's to be a change is not to stop, but to go this way. But still keep going. That's backwards from how I used to think. I used to think I'll stay until God somehow makes it clear to me by the Holy Spirit that I'm supposed to go. Are you like me? It's really comfortable here. All my friends and family connections are here. I get it. And this is not a guilt trip. I'm just saying, like, it's the task of the church to spread out through the region and make sure that wherever the gospel lands, communities of believers are formed and they can be strengthened. make disciples, baptizing them, teach them to obey. The job of the church. And in our area, we have internet access, and people can hear sermons over the internet if they're so inclined. If you work for Back to the Bible, awesome. Back to the Bible used to, still does, I don't know. Radio was a thing. If you don't know what radio is, like there's this thing in your car, maybe. The way the apostles fulfilled the Great Commission was not only by telling the gospel, but by forming the believers, the people who came to believe in Christ, into churches where they could grow under the ministry of the word, fellowship with one another, the breaking of bread, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Baptism. It is not enough for people to hear the gospel over the radio waves or the internet waves. I don't know how it works. Whatever. Like, that's not enough. Like, there needs to be people who also carry the gospel, but adorn the gospel with their lives, fellowshipping together every week and being strengthened in their faith so that they are adorning the gospel or wearing the gospel well with their lives wherever they live, work, and play. So, I just put it clearly on the screen. Unless God says otherwise, the pattern of starting and strengthening churches throughout a region is what is expected and what is normal. This is God's will. Mark Dever put it this way. He said, church planting is the normal business of the local church. And the local church is where Christians are taught to obey everything that Jesus commanded. Church planting is the normal business of the local church. Because it's not merely through a preaching podcast, but the assembly of people who are having their lives transformed by the good news of the gospel, where Christians are taught through singing the gospel, praying the gospel, hearing the gospel preached through the word, and watching the gospel displayed in the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. It is through the local church where Christians are taught to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And so, if what was happening is a normal pattern of starting and strengthening churches, and what happened was weird is God broke the pattern to not stop, but to redirect, and to bring it back in such a way to make it clear that it's the local believers who keep things going and spreading after the apostles leave. And what are the implications for us? For Redemption Hill Bible Church and for Faith Bible. I live in Lincoln, That's why I almost didn't make it this morning, because I live right in the zone where they covered off, they blocked all the roads. And I even use that thing they call the internet, and I figured out like what time they're going to close the roads. And I was just like, dude, that's awesome. It's 6 a.m. No problem. I got this. I know what 6 a.m. is. And I'm going to get up extra early, and I'm going to be 15 minutes before they close the road down. Oh, no. If you work for city streets or whatever in Lincoln, I commend you for your diligence in getting up extra early and closing off roads ahead of schedule. You're awesome. In God's mercy, we became convinced that we will drive a little extra and go to Hickman every week and start and strengthen a body of believers there so that the believers in Hickman would be able to invite their friends and a place to fold them in to a church family. And the hope and effort is that some of those believers will eventually travel a little further again and help start another church further out. One of the reasons why I haven't thrown like numbers at you is because I'm kind of skeptical when a speaker stands up and says, 92% of people say blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, really? Where'd you get those numbers? Okay, so I'm going to do the thing that I hate. And you can be as skeptical as you want. But if the numbers I'm about to give you are even a little true or ballpark, we're in trouble. Every week in the U.S., over 130 churches close. And that's an old statistic. Every week in the U.S., 130 churches close their doors. See kids in the room. So glad you're here. The rate of population growth in the United States means that if we were just going to keep things equal, like keep the equilibrium, the ratio to the population of the United States versus believers gathering together under the ministry of the gospel, if we're just going to keep it equilibrium, we have to start 3,000 plus churches a year. Don't fool yourself. This is an arrogant thing to say. Just because you pass buildings that have signs that end in the word church does not mean that there is a faithful gathering of believers to exalt the name of Jesus in the clear presentation of the gospel. In one generation, prevailing population can come to see belief in Jesus Christ as something my grandparents did. And a church dies or becomes irrelevant. I hate buzzwords like that. But through the faithful clinging to the good news of Jesus Christ, and as Paul said to the church at Colossae, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Where else will people go and gather together to be encouraged and exhorted and strengthened with the knowledge that Jesus paid it all? It is finished. And my guilty conscience that keeps me up at night can be silenced. Not because I put on some media to distract myself, but because Jesus paid it all. And in God's sight, I am clean and there is no more condemnation. Where else do guilty sinners go? Where else do you find a group of people who have different political views on certain matters, maybe kind of bicker about color of certain things and new projects, but the one thing that brings them all together amidst all their background differences, I'm Jamaican, by the way, amidst all their differences is that the Lord Jesus is Lord of every nation. Churches have to be planted. Okay, I'll shut up. How should you respond? How should you respond? I'm asking that you prayerfully renew and continue your support of Redemption Hill in Hickman. Keep it going. And move in such a way that we partner together once our little church has been established to plant again. So that was a huge step for our little country church at Country Bible. The elders appreciated all of this and said, a third of our congregation is already coming from Hickman. Let's make it our first step. Like, this is a big step for us. We're 40 years old. We've always talked about planting a church, and now we're finally going to do it. A third of our congregation already drives over to Bennett from Hickman. Let's plant a church in Hickman. And the goal and plan and idea is that when both churches kind of recover from the planting, the birthing process, birthing a new church, we'll partner together again and plant further out. Right now we're looking at Adams. One of the staff pastors at Redemption Hill with me already moved to Adams. He was raised in Lincoln, and before God even called in to plant a church, he and his wife moved to Adams, and God situated them there. And they're having a profound impact on their community. So, Sam Larson, the guy who won Alone season 5, praise God, is no longer alone. And God is using him in mighty ways in Hickman. And then God's willing in the future. And we're asking you to continue to partner with us, pray for us. You will learn ways in the coming weeks and months where you can actually join us in some projects in Hickman. And then part of your response should be prayerfully considering how you too can plant. And because you partnered with us, how you can plant again. Charles Spurgeon, a really popular preacher from long ago, faithful to the gospel, pastoring a huge church, said, "We encourage our members to leave us, to start other churches." Nay, because, you know, he's British. No, we seek to persuade them to do it. We ask them to scatter throughout the land to become the godly seed which God shall bless. I believe that as long as we do this, we will prosper. Through his commands and his guiding hands, from Acts 16, we have concluded that God has called us to go. Will you join us? Join us in prayer. Join us in partnering. And pray about your part in the future. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for this time in the text. And we ask and pray that in your mercy, as you've seen fit to spread believers throughout the region and to use them in ways far beyond what they could ask or imagine, we ask that you would continue to use the faith family and widen their reach throughout southeast Nebraska. If it's your direction, would you work in such a way that they would join arms with us to start thriving churches all the way to the southern and eastern border of our state? Otherwise, would you lead and direct and guide? And may the Lord Jesus receive the worship that he deserves in every hamlet and township and village and farmhouse. And we ask it in Christ's name.